This morning's text is from the book of Psalms. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, am not afraid. What can mere mortals do? Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. But this I will know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offering to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So, this being Mother's Day, I thought I'd begin with just a little bit of Mother's Day humor, okay? So, humor me with this. And what came to mind was things that your mom probably never, ever said, okay? All right, so think about things that your mom never said to you. Right, I have a feeling it might include some of this, like the first one here. How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back, right? I don't think my mom ever said that. I think it was the opposite of that. This one, go ahead and keep that stray dog. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day. I know my mom never said this one. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. And this one, of course. Who needs a tissue? Just use your sleeve. I like this one. Yeah, this one. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The below zero windshield is bound to improve. How many of your kids or grandkids go outside? No jacket, and it is below freezing. It's like, what? And this one definitely hits very close to home. Thanks for turning your laundry into a permanent floor decoration. It really ties the room together. Yes, that one hits a little close to home. Not naming names, but anyway. But, you know, we laugh because we know those are things mom probably has never said, or at least if they said it, they said it with they didn't say it with a straight face. Because, you know, that's just contrary to what usually moms say to us. But underneath it all, there is, you know, the truth that, you know, moms and those special folks, special women in our lives, because, hey, let's be honest, not everyone's always had a great mom. All right, but maybe we had other people who poured into our lives, who gave and gave and gave and gave and continued to give. And many times, the one word they long to hear, they don't always hear it. And that is the word thanks. And so as we wrap up this short little series on three words we long to hear, we're going to focus on this one word today, this word of thanks, that acknowledges effort, that recognizes sacrifices, that says, hey, I see you. This one word that, you know, another one of these words like please and sorry, that I think we long to hear, but we don't always hear it. And we go back to our scriptures as we've done in each, and we go back to David again. Now, David, remember, David's the one who kills Goliath. He's the one who becomes the king of Israel. And here in this psalm that he writes, he uses this Hebrew word called todah. All right, think of todah. Now, it's todah, like your toe. So todah means thanks or thanks or thanksgiving. And so it's more than just a polite response that you say, all right? You know, I was taught to say growing up when someone does something, you know, for you, opens the door, whatever it might be, your response is to say, thank you, thanks. I want my kids to have good manners, so I want them to say thanks. But Todah is much deeper than that, okay? Because it's more about a declaration of trust. It's praise even when life is hard. And that's what we see in David. So David, a little background. So David is once again on the run. If you're here with last week, he was on the run then. He's on the run again, okay? King Saul, who is very jealous of David, he's very consumed with David's popularity, his success as a warrior, his divine favor. And David's got all that, and Saul's so jealous of it that he wants to put David to death. And so he has pursued him. And last week, David actually confronts him about it. Why are you pursuing me? And Saul says, you know what? I don't know. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. In fact, this is what he says. I have done wrong. Come back, my son David, for I will never harm you again, because my life was precious in your sight today. I have been a fool, and I have made a great mistake. And so here's Saul. He is apologizing. He's saying, basically, I'm sorry, using that one of those words we long to hear. Problem was, his words were very hollow, all right? It didn't lead to change, because once again, Saul is pursuing, he is after David and wanting to kill him. And that's where we find ourselves today. So David, again, is on the run, he's hiding, he's just trying to survive, and it's so bad that David actually runs straight into enemy territory, the land of the Philistines. If there was any place that you didn't want to go, if you were David, and that would have been the land of the Philistines to hide out, because he wasn't their favorite son. Right? David had killed Goliath, and Goliath was, guess what? He was a Philistine. It says also, prior to him seeking refuge in Philistine there, we read in 1 Samuel that David and his men left and they killed 200 Philistines. And David brought back the proof that Saul had demanded and showed it to him. So David's not really welcome in the land of the Philistines, okay? Not really a place that you want to go and seek refuge in or to hide, but that's where David finds himself. And so the Philistines, guess what? They quickly recognize him, they arrest him, and they throw him in prison. And it's while David is in prison, though, that he writes this psalm that we heard a moment ago, known as Psalm 56. And listen again to what David says, but also notice what he does. He says, whenever I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. And then a few verses later, he says, I will fulfill my promises to you, God. I will present thanksgiving offerings to you. Now again, the word for thanksgiving is the word todah. And what I find interesting when I read it is when David offers thanks to God. Because here, if we read it, it says David is offering thanks not after he has been rescued, but he's giving thanks to God in the midst of the danger. That's not a natural response for most of us. Usually our thanks follow a result, right? We say thanks after something is done for us. You know, when I go to Chick-fil-A, all right, and but most of the time when I get there, there's always employees outside, and one of them will open the door for me so they will let me go in. And I will say, because I've been taught good manners, and so I will always say, well, thank you. And they, in response, will say what? You're Chickie fans, I can tell, all right. Yes, the response is always, my pleasure. Now, what I try to do, though, when I go to Chick-fil-A, I know that's going to happen. So I try to do something for the employees so they have to thank me. So they say thanks to me. So in response, I can say, my pleasure. It's a game I like to play. And it's fun to watch them, to see the look on their face when you say my pleasure back. They're like, you know, did you work at Chick-fil-A? No. But I digress. Anyway, but we naturally say thanks or thank you after something is done for us. And yet here's David offering thanks to God, not after he's rescued, but before. while he's still in danger, he's saying thanks. If I was in David's shoes, my prayer wouldn't be a prayer of thanks. My prayer would be one of panic, maybe, or anger, or despair. It definitely wouldn't be thanks. But see, here's what I want us to understand. David gives thanks not because his situation is good, right? But because God is good in it. Not because the situation is good, but because God is good in it. So it's a gratitude that is grounded not in outcomes, but in trusting. Years ago, I had a prisoner come by the church, and he wanted to sit down and talk. And what had happened, he had just been laid off. He just lost his job, been laid off there. I think it was Freightliner over in Mount Holly. And they always had layoffs. He'd just been laid off, and so he was, just was talking about that, and, there was no mourning in this. It happened unexpectedly. It's like Spirit Airlines, right? Next day, what? There's no more Spirit. And so he was sort of in that situation. So we were talking about it and the reality of it all, the uncertainty surrounded that, and there's bills coming up and all of the responsibilities, all of these things. So we talked about all that kind of stuff. And then, at the end, as I normally do, I offered to pray with him. He said, yeah, I'd love that. He said, but can I do the praying? And I'm like, great. I mean, I'm always doing the praying. But he said, I'd like to do the prayer. And I said, sure, no problem. And this is why I remember it. Instead of praying to God for another job or for this, his prayer wasn't about a request in any way, shape, or form. He was praying, Lord, I know you've carried me this far. You've been with me this far, and I know you will continue to be so. So I give you thanks. So it was a prayer of thanksgiving in the midst of uncertainty. So he was praying not because his situation had changed, because it had not, right? Not because his situation was good, because it was not. He was praying because God was still good in it. I say that's, to me, this is what Todah is about. It's this gratitude long before the outcome has been decided. It's praise in the midst of the problem. It's trusting God when maybe it doesn't always make sense. Again, gratitude not grounded in the outcome, but in trust. So David's giving thanks and still in the midst of the danger. He hadn't been delivered, unsure what tomorrow is going to bring. And so he says, you have saved me from life to death, saved my feet from stumbling so that I can walk before God in the light of life. And so he's talking about his deliverance, and it hasn't even happened yet. He's thanking God in advance. Why? Because of who God is. It's what David is doing. See, it's easy for us, I think, to say thank you when our prayer has been answered. Much harder to give thanks when we're still waiting. Waiting on the result, we're waiting on the, we're in the what I call the not yet. Right? We're still waiting. We're waiting on the answer. We're waiting on the result. The answer, the result, whatever it might be, hasn't happened yet. We're in the midst of the not yet. It is this time of waiting for the outcome, or whatever it is. And yet, in the midst of the not yet, we give thanks, as David gave thanks. And what does David do? David's trusting in the midst of it, not knowing what the outcome might be, but he's pausing and giving thanks in the midst of the not yet. Which I think is a great model for us to remember to give thanks in the midst of the not yet. And that might be, practically speaking, it may be, in the morning it's starting with our Todah rather than with our request. Hey, God, I need this today. But rather saying, God, hey, thank you for the grace. All right. That I'm going to need, or the patience that I'm going to need. All right? For the strength. Thank you for the not yet. So we start our day off maybe with that. And in doing so, we name what it is that we're waiting on. So we're specific, whatever it might be. the answer to decision, diagnosis, relationship, direction. So instead of asking God to fix it, hey, God, will you do this? What are we doing? We're saying, God, help me to trust you in the midst of this, in the midst of the not yet. And so that creates what I call a before and after kind of rhythm then. So in the morning, before, it is the ta-da, Lord, I give thanks for not yet. And at the end of the day is, I'm giving you thanks for that. All right, for the result. God, thank you for what you did, how you carried me. So it's a rhythm, and what it's doing is training our kind of heart to recognize the God's faithfulness in the not yet, and not just in the results. So it's a rhythm to that. It's remembering to say thanks out loud to the people who need to hear it. Because a lot of times we just assume, don't we? They know we're grateful. Yeah, I know my parents are grateful for all the things they did for me, but how many times do I say it? You know, especially on this day, on this Mother's Day, it's a great opportunity to say out loud to those who don't always hear it. You know, not just our moms, but our friends, our family, whoever it might be. Right? But thank you. But to do it specifically, thank you for whatever, and you fill in the blank, the way you show up, for sacrifice, whatever it might be. Because in the thank you, you're also saying, you know, I see you. I see you. It's another thing. Because sometimes, the word that we long to hear is often the word someone else is waiting on from us. Think about it. The word that we long to hear oftentimes is the word someone else is waiting on from us. And so, be intentional in, saying out loud to the people who need to hear it, that word we long to hear. And then the final thing is just attaching thanks to just to the ordinary. Just the ordinary things in life. Because what is that doing? That's building up, this kind of attitude of gratitude in a sense. We begin to appreciate things a little more when we're intentional and we notice, right? So maybe, we joke about the permanent floor decorations of the laundry, but at the same time, I can look at that and say, I can be frustrated by that, or I can say, you know what, there's going to be a day where there's not going to be any permanent floor decorations like that. And so I give thanks for the time that I have now. So thanks for the ordinary things, or maybe the things that maybe frustrate us that later on we'll miss, and so we give thanks. Because here's, when you practice, I believe, when you practice and live into this word todah, we practice that, it begins to kind of change us. It doesn't necessarily change the situation, it changes our perspective, how maybe we approach it, how we navigate it. When we're in the midst of it, maybe it helps to loosen the grip of fear that we can have, or maybe it gives a foothold. It allows for trust to begin to grow. Because here's David; he's running from Saul. He's been imprisoned by the Philistines, and he's given thanks, and he hasn't even been delivered. But if you read on, David walks out of that place. He eventually is delivered. God eventually makes a way. But as Psalm 56 reminds us, the real victory didn't happen after the fact. And to me, it happens before those prison doors were opened up. When David chose first to trust and to offer thanks. So here's what I want to invite us to consider. And that is, think about your in-between, okay? Where you are in-between. What are you in other words, think about it, and what are you waiting on, all right? What are you, maybe you're unsure about, and to offer todah in the midst of that, because right? That's grounded in trust, that's grounded in faith, not in the results. So what is it? I'm waiting on a decision, I'm hoping this will happen, whatever, but say, hey, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you, I give thanks to you, because I'm going to trust you in the midst of that. Because sometimes the most powerful things we can offer is the one that we speak before the answer comes. The most powerful thanks that we offer is the one that we speak and we lift up before the answer comes. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do. We give you thanks for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your presence in every season, regardless of what season we find ourselves in, O Lord. And so in the midst of our not yets, we give you thanks. Just as on this day, we give you thanks for the special women in our lives who have poured into us, who have sacrificed, who have loved us, who have been there for us. So Lord, teach us to live lives of Todah, to trust you in the midst of the uncertainty, to praise you in the difficulties, to give thanks in all things. Trust you like David did, and what you're doing, even when we can't see it. So Lord, I pray that our lives may reflect to gratitude, not for what you do for us, but simply for who you are. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.